we'll be talking about the importance of knowing the will of our Father in heaven. We are going to look at 7 different ways on how to know the will of God. The first, which I'll be covering, is being surrendered fully and being willing to be used by God. This is not only applicable to us as young people, as youth, but also to others, whether they are young or old. But before I begin, please join me as I kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you for this Sabbath, O Lord. Lord, may it not be us youth on this stage preaching your word, God, but may it be the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, speak through us, and may we glorify you, dear Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity to do good service for you, Lord, and give us strength as we go and do the service. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for this Sabbath, and thank you, dear Father, for everything. I ask and pray all these things in your name. Amen. Naaman was the kind of guy you would have liked to hang out with. Maybe he had a 549 BC chariot with 6 horsepower that he took you on rides every Sunday morning. It seemed as if this guy had everything. The Bible says in 2 Kings 5:1, he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. But despite all these things, at the end of the resume the Bible gives him, he has a major thorn in his side. Naaman was a leper. Naaman had leprosy. Not many of you know how Israelites thought of leprosy back then. They thought it was a curse from God, and I'm sure Naaman felt like he was cursed by God. As the story goes on, in one of the Syrian raids, an Israelite girl is captured and sent to serve Naaman's wife. And because of her faith, because of her steadfast belief, she is able to witness to non-believers, and she is able to bless her master. Amen. Naaman, hearing about these things, the Israelite girl told her mistress about a certain prophet in Israel that could heal Naaman of his malady. And Naaman, hearing of these things, takes the chance and goes to the king, telling him such and such the Israelite girl has spoken. So the king then tells Naaman to go to Israel with a letter in hand to meet the king of Israel. And when the king of Israel hears the news, he's frustrated. He rents his clothes. And yet Elisha intervenes. Elijah tells him, "Why are you doing these things? Send Naaman to me." And he says, "He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So when Naaman gets at the door of Elisha's house with his 549 BC chariot, he brings gifts from the king. Now this is where things don't go as expected for Naaman. He thought that the prophet of Israel would come down at the door and meet him and do some abracadabra, alakazam, and instantly heal him. But no, this is not what happens. Instead, Elijah sends his servant to do all the dirty work and tells them, "Dip in the river Jordan 7 times." Now, the commander felt some major disrespect going on. The least this prophet of Israel could do was meet him at the door, yet he had the audacity, he had the guts to tell him to dip in the river Jordan as well. Now, I'm thinking the river Jordan must have been one nasty river because Naaman did not want to go. During the time Naaman was having a tantrum, the Bible says that his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something much more than when he says to you, wash and be clean." Now Naaman had a choice. Would he believe in what the prophet had to say, or would he let pride take over? Would he submit to the will of God, or would he let self reign? Most of you know the path he chose. Naaman chose the hard path. He chose to swim and dip 7 times in the murky, dirty waters of the River Jordan. Amen. And the Bible says, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Finally, Naaman understood. If he had refused the will of God, if he had chosen self, he would be physically sick. He would still be physically sick. And yet, even worse, he would be spiritually sick. He would not have come to know our Father in heaven as his master and creator. Ellen White says in Messages to Young People, page 21, paragraph 1, God wants the youth to become men of earnest mind, to be prepared for action in his noble work, and fitted to bear responsibilities. God calls for young men with hearts uncorrupted, strong and brave, and determined to fight manfully in the struggle before them. If the youth would but make the Bible their study, would but calm their impetuous desires and listen to the voice of their Creator and Redeemer, they would not only be at peace with God, but would find themselves ennobled and elevated. It will be for your eternal interest, my young friend, to give heed to the instructions in the Word of God, for they are of inestimable importance to you. Ellen White says here that if we only listen to what the Lord has to say through His Word, if we were only willing to do what God asks, we would be ennobled and elevated. When I read this, I didn't know what ennobled meant, so I looked it up on dictionary.com, and I found this: to elevate in degree, excellence, or respect, dignify, exalt. To me, this means that following the Lord, even though it means like you don't want to do things that you don't want to do, just like Naaman, but it will heighten us not only in intellect and wisdom, but in work habits. The way people would see those who surrender fully to the Lord, those will gain respect. They will gain respect, and the way that people see them will be high. Not only that, but she says, it will be for your eternal interest, meaning that God's instruction will lead to eternal life. Heaven. Who wouldn't want to go to heaven? It's so simple. Just follow the word of the Lord. Follow God and listen to whatever He says. It's easy, no? And yet, why is it so hard for us human beings? It's because we are so sinful. If our sinful nature was left alone, it will go rampant. You see, every day, we need to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. We need to ask Him, Father in heaven, please help me to surrender fully to You. And I end with this text found in Zechariah 4:6. So He said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord Almighty."
Amen. I believe when an individual is seeking to know the will of God, there are three additional areas to be considered. And the first one would be prayer. God has promised many times in His Word that He is always ready and listening to hear and attend to the petitions of His children. Ellen White says in Gospel Workers, page 258, "To every sincere prayer, an answer will come. It may not come just as you desire or at the time you look for it, but it will come, and in the way that best meets your need. The prayer you offer in loneliness, in weariness, in trial, God answers, not always according to your expectation, but always for your good." A key element of this quote is the word sincere. When we are asking God to reveal His will in our lives, we must seek Him with sincerity and diligence. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." When you believe that God is truly a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, you are putting your faith into action by seeking Him with all your heart. You are giving Him permission to reveal His will in your life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." God has promised to always direct our paths when we seek Him with diligence, sincerity, and all our heart. To seek God with all your heart means as a person, you have completely surrendered yourself to whatever His plan is for you. Self is nowhere in the picture of life anymore. One last key element to seeking God's will through prayer is the act of persistence. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. This means you should pray until you receive a clear answer. Although the answer might seem blurred to begin with, when you apply the additional key elements we discussed, God will most definitely reward your dedication. When I began high school, I was so concerned about the workload that I would be assigned every night. There were, and there still are, multiple mornings where I work as hard as possible to complete my studies. But it seems there's always an assignment that is partially incomplete, or one that I just completely forgot about. I've learned that I can't always be on top of my game. But I've also learned that when I'm not on my game, that is when God is all over his. I have gone through tough days with certain assignments, their due dates pushed back for no apparent reason, and quizzes and tests that I'm not prepared for canceled due to the teacher's lack of preparation. As the days pass, I've learned just to give everything to God. When I look back on my specifically crazy days, I can clearly see how God's hand has directed my day and caused certain events to occur to my benefit that I would never have imagined. His will becomes obvious to me. It is always a better road for me than I could map out for myself. God truly does love us with an unconditional love, one that does not wish to hold anything good from us. In Gospel Workers, page 1259, it says, "True faith and true prayer are as two arms by which the suppliant lays hold upon the power of infinite love. Faith is trusting in God, believing that he loves us and knows what is for our best good. Thus, instead of our own way, it leads us to choose his way." I believe the second element is fasting. It is another key element in the process of discovering God's will. The purpose of fasting is to refrain from anything that can get in the way of maintaining a clear and receptive mindset, free of distractions. Esther, Daniel, and Jesus all fasted and prayed. Esther fasted for guidance, Daniel fasted for understanding, and Jesus fasted for empowerment. Most people abstain from food and drink during a fast. I've never done that, but I have done a 30-day media fast. For 30 days straight, I avoided the use of my cell phone, and especially the social media apps, and TV and movies. Initially, I was very opposed to the idea, but over time, I did realize that my mind was clearer, and I was able to focus on things that matter most in life, like having a personal relationship with God, my family, and friends. Ultimately, the act of fasting is not to benefit God, but to help us hear God's voice clearly. His voice can be heard in many different ways: through godly people, various books, and the Word of God. And that brings us to our final element, the Word of God. God's Word is described in Psalms 119, 105 as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. If we see the Bible as a guide, we will read it prayerfully with an open mind and a teachable spirit. We will be willing to do whatever it says as we are fully surrendered. When we read God's word prayerfully with diligence, persistence, a clear mind, and all of our heart, we then place ourselves in the best position to hear God's voice. Sometimes we go to the Bible, looking for a verse that best fits our situation exactly, or we randomly open the Bible expecting to find the perfect verse that would answer all of our problems. While that may work for some people, I cannot say that that has happened to me. But however, God doesn't fail to continually provide verses that directly speak to me and give me help and encouragement. I've kept a few Bible verses on my iPhone in the Note app. These verses and promises are very dear to me because God has always seemed to provide them exactly when I need them most. And I'm just going to share a few of them with you. The first one is found in Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then our second one says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. And then we see in Psalms 18:30, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. I strongly encourage you as a congregation just to keep a tab of verses on your phone or carry them in your pocket. And whenever you are faced with a difficulty in the day, you can just pull it out and know that you can turn to your promises with a purpose. Sometimes when we talk to God, when we talk about God's will for our lives, we are often referring to the future. What should I do this summer? Which college is best for me? Should I buy the iPhone 6 or the iPhone 6 Plus? But God's will is just as important in the present as it is the future. If you are stressed about schoolwork, God's will for you is to have peace. If you find yourself discouraged, God's will for you is to have hope. And whenever we find ourselves trapped in sin, God's will for us is to overcome. And the way we find peace, hope, and strength to overcome is through the three steps we talked about: diligent and sincere prayer, eliminating daily distractions by fasting, and by reading his word daily. I want to leave you with a verse found in 1 John 5:14, and it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let this promise guide you as you seek to know God's will for your life.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I would like to share with you two other steps that we need to remember when seeking to do God's will. The first step is to have faith, and the second step is to glorify God. Have you ever lifted up a request to God, asking him if your decision would glorify him, and afterwards felt empty, wondering if God heard your prayer at all? It may seem hard for you and I to believe without seeing, but that's exactly why we need to have faith. There are many things in life we trust in without even realizing it, such as flying an airplane without seeing the pilot guide the airplane. Faith only comes from God. We need to come before God and trust in his love and mercy. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. These Bible verses are a big reminder to me that when we are willing to do his will, then God is responsible to reveal his will to us. We must believe and be patient with God. When Queen Esther was walking through the hallway to the king in the palace of Persia, she didn't know if she was going to come out alive, but she was determined to follow God's plan for her, and she followed his timing and guidance. God used Queen Esther mightily to save his people. Mount of Blessing, page 130 says, when we ask God, we realize our need of him. In faith, we receive. Having faith in the Lord includes five things. It includes calling upon the Lord in prayer, being patient with the Lord, being obedient to the Lord, and having hope in the Lord. Yet, while having faith is crucial, we shouldn't be impatient. Queen Esther waited for God to reveal to her his will and plans. Joseph had to wait a long time in jail. And while I have never been to jail, I imagine that was a difficult place to wait for God. Well, God restored him and revealed everything in his own time. Hannah prayed and waited for a son, and she was blessed with Samuel. All things are possible to them that believe. The second step to know God's will is to ask ourselves if this decision glorifies God when we give up our selfish desires. In every decision, we need to ask ourselves, how will my decision benefit and affect others? What would Jesus want me to do? We shouldn't be thinking of what I want. Jesus' character is love, which means that he was totally selfless. As an example, if you were to purchase your third Mercedes-Benz or your sixth iPhone, ask yourself, am I doing this for myself or to honor and glorify God? If one of our options is going to harm the kingdom, then it is the wrong option. We shouldn't forget Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I am a junior about to be a senior at Temecula Valley High School, which is a public school. At public school, there are many influences and activities that could easily lead me away from God. But for me, I have found that it is important for me as a young person to have faith in God, to not follow culture, friends, and popular opinion of the day to influence my decisions. I have also found that it can be so easy and tempting to be sucked into the pleasures of the world. I realize that my flesh is weak. Ellen G. White tells us, his grace is given to work in us. God will cooperate with all who strive to do his will. And by the Holy Spirit, he will strengthen every true purpose, every noble resolution. I have found strength in looking to Jesus. When I look to him, he gives me strength to do his will.
Amen. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. This morning, I would like to take a look at another way that we can know God's will, through gaining counsel from godly people. Please open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 and 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 and 21. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. As a youth, sometimes it's easy to think we may have the answers to many of life's different questions. But is that really the case? Praise God, he has provided us with our parents, our pastors, our teachers, and others that have a living connection with him to guide us in the path that points to Jesus. In the compilation of my sermon for this morning, I received wise counsel from Pastor Jeff. He gave me excellent suggestions as to what the main point should be and how it should be delivered to you. Since I don't have much experience with public speaking, God used Pastor Jeff to point me in the right direction. Praise God for our pastors. Amen. By heeding godly advice of others, we can save ourselves a lot of heartache and trouble. Satan knows that if he can disrupt the connection between us and those that God has enlisted to direct us, he can destroy our lives. Through the craftiness of Satan, he can even deceive us into taking the advice of the ungodly, even the professed Christians. I tend to think about Solomon, who in his youth kept a constant connection with his earthly father as well as his heavenly father. And when asked of his heavenly father what he would like to receive from him, he responded with the words, "Only for an understanding heart." That should be our aim also. Nothing else but to have a heart that understands and longs to do God's will. When we look at the humble life of Jesus, we see another, yet greater example of a life dedicated to following the will of his heavenly Father than Solomon. The book Ministry of Healing, page 479, says, "Christ in his life on earth made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plans for him. And day by day, the Father unfolded his plans. So should we depend upon God that our lives may be the simple outworking of his will. As we commit our ways to him, he will direct our steps." In my personal experience, through my relationship with my parents, I've grown to love and trust them. And when issues arise that I have no idea how to solve, the place I go for help is God and my parents. When we learn to submit to God's will, he supplies the answers to life's daunting questions. Through his providing of our godly parents, pastors, teachers, and godly friends, God reveals to us his great love. And we in turn accept their guidance and love him back. God's will is for us as youth and everyone else to work closely together with those that counsel us with godly wisdom. Now is the time to work together to prepare for the soon return of Jesus. Amen. Through the young and the young at heart, studying together, working together, praying together, we can together do God's will. The purpose of gaining counsel and working with others is so that we can finish the work that God has set before us. It is not just the youth that will finish this work. God wants to use anyone that is willing to work for him. Let me conclude with a quote from Acts of the Apostles, page 279. If we watch carefully and take counsel with our brethren, we shall be given an understanding of the Lord's will. For the promise is, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 25, verse 9.
Knowing God's will can honestly sometimes be very confusing. What should I spend my time and money on? What should I do this summer? Where should I go to school? Sometimes it's so easy to worry about the future and what God wants for our lives. But I hope this morning that you have seen that knowing God's will is not as difficult as it may seem. I hope that through what Zach, Julianne, Amber, and Lance have already said, we have already given you some tips and strategies that you can take when you are wanting to know God's will. But sometimes it's a whole lot easier to just decide for ourselves, but we think that is God's will for us. Or, like me, you may tend to procrastinate and just say, oh, God will just figure it all out for me. I'm okay. Studying God's word to discover what he has already instructed us to do is pretty easy, just opening up God's word. But sometimes, well, a lot of times, we struggle to open up our Bibles and fervently pray for God's will to be done in our lives, which is probably what I should have done that last January at GYC, because that day was really hot, even though it was in the middle of January. It was sweaty. We were in the middle of Phoenix, Arizona, at GYC, which is a youth conference. And that day was GYC's outreach day, in which many of the GYC attendees went canvassing or selling books door to door. Now, this was probably my first official experience canvassing, and I was really excited. But I was also really nervous. Because honestly, going up to somebody's door isn't that hard. But I was having problems with it because, honestly, I was scared. I was scared of the rejection and the slammed doors and people screaming at my face and the scary situations. But deep down inside, I knew that this was God's will for me. I needed to spread God's word to the people in Phoenix, Arizona. The next day, we went out there, and we actually had an amazing time selling books, and we got to meet some pretty awesome people and spread God's word. From that experience, I learned that following God's will might not be what I always feel like doing, but it's always what God has blessed for our lives. So even though it's difficult to follow God's will sometimes, it's the best thing you can do, and it's so rewarding. And like I said earlier, it's not really that hard. And hopefully to make it a little bit easier, we've compiled these steps for you to follow. Step 1 was be willing and surrendered. Step 2 is pray. 3, be guided by God's word. 4, have faith. 5 is asking yourself if this decision really glorifies God. And 6, obtaining godly counsel. But there's one more step, number 7, tallying the evidence. What do I mean by that? Let me explain. When searching how to discover and know God's will in our own lives, we need to make sure and do all the steps mentioned above. If I only do step 3, reading the Bible, I could randomly open the Bible to, let's say, Proverbs 16:31, which says, "Gray hair is the crown of splendor." So just because I'm reading God's will does not mean that I should dye my hair gray so I can follow God's will. We need to do all of the steps and be surrendered as we pray for God's guidance and read his word and be surrendered to his plan. If we do this, God will make it clear what we should do. In his book, Determining the Will of God, Pastor Doug Batchelor touches on the idea of triangulating the criteria. Basically, this means observing multiple criteria that we've already discussed, talked about overlapping and pointing in the same direction that God is leading you. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established." So this concept isn't exactly new. In fact, it dates all the way back to biblical times. For me, it's really helpful to make a list. Ask yourself, what does God's word say? If the answer isn't as clear as you would hope, ask, what do my counselors say? And keep tallying these results until you have a decision that you can stand on firmly. Making a list of all the pros and cons is really helpful, too. But one of the struggles I have when I am personally dealing with how to know God's will is differentiating between knowing God's will and my will. For me, it's frustratingly hard to know the difference between God's will and my will sometimes in certain situations. How are we supposed to know when God is leading in our lives? Well, fortunately, we don't have to figure that out on our own. The Bible and the spirit of prophecy tell us so much about what God wants us to do. Ellen White, in a letter, wrote the following about this subject. "The word of God is the guidebook. Turn not from its pages to depend upon the human agent. That book contains the warnings, the admonitions from God, the rebuke of every evil, the clear definition of sin as the transgression of the law, which is God's great standard of virtue and holiness. Not one who will study the word of God and apply its teachings will miss the way." And continuing in the same letter, she says, "When God is recognized as the theme of all thoughts, as the object of love, reverence, and worship, when the Lord Jesus, the pattern, is kept before the mind, the heart is being cleansed from all moral defilement. Then the soul becomes an accurate judge of propriety of action. Every attitude is touched with grace." And that is from Letter 4, December 23, to brethren and sisters. Are you going through an experience in your life where you want to know the will of God? Study God's word to find out his will. It's actually that simple. One of the best ways to know God's will is to study and extract principles from the Bible and from biblical characters that are going through similar experiences as yourself, especially the life of Jesus. If you are truly seeking God's will in your life in a particular situation, I highly encourage you to read Ministry of Healing, pages 480 to 482, in the chapter entitled God Will Provide. Sometimes we may know already what God's will is for us, or we're afraid to go that distance for God. Regardless, I believe that God has plans for us, and these plans are for our good and for our best. Amen. We must constantly be willing and surrender to God and trust in his leading. I'd like to challenge you and all of us this coming week to ask God if you are where he wants you to be. And I hope that you will pray earnestly for thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.